Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news in full at 5 o'clock. Coming up over the next 30 minutes, a man was held at gunpoint during an aggravated burglary in a home in Clady last night. Normal business resumed this afternoon for Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty on day two of the new dull term. Three of the largest banks have made a proposal to provide working capital for defective block homeowners who are facing huge rebuilding costs. And a parent of Dunkeneally National School has said the traffic problems in the area is an accident waiting to happen. These stories in full plus more to come. Jordan McDade will be live around 5:15 with the latest in sport. And Chris Ashmore also brings the latest farming news and views. First in news, a man was held at gunpoint during an aggravated burglary in a home in Clady last night. Detectives are currently investigating and appealing for more information. Donal Kavanagh has more.
At around 10 o'clock last night, it's reported that two masked men entered a house on New Street in the village. One went upstairs while the other stayed with a victim in the home who'd been pushed to the floor and threatened with a gun. A number of items were stolen, including keys to a beige-coloured Nissan. At around 25 past 10, police received a report of a vehicle on fire on Listu Road in the Clady area. It's believed this was the vehicle taken from the premises. Police say the resident of the home is extremely shaken by the ordeal and a number of inquiries have been carried out so far. They're asking people to make contact if they witnessed any suspicious activity between 10 to 10 and 10:15 last night in the New Street area or if they believe they saw the vehicle being driven away. Those with dash cams are also asked to review footage and alert police to anything they believe may be of interest.
Normal business resumed this afternoon for Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty on day two of the new dull term. The Cion Corla intervened during leaders' questions, telling Deputy Doherty he was out of order. Tensions grew in the dull as he told the Housing Minister that his housing plans are a shambles. Minister O'Brien, defending the government's plan, acknowledged that challenges exist, but says government's plans are working to address the housing crisis.
I am appealing to you to change direction. Don't do more of the same. Stop the bluster that's coming from you and recognise what's happening out there, because the country needs a change of direction and they need you to recognise that.
Yes, challenges remain, Deputy, but our plan is taking hold and it's actually The delivery figures show that. Not everybody is feeling that, Deputy. But I just think people who are watching in here will see that. All Sinn Féin have called for, particularly for first-time buyers, is to remove all the supports that are there. Help to buy, first home scheme, and the vacancy grant, and you'll get rid of them all.
Thank you. Deputy Doherty, will you... Deputy Doherty.
You know you're failing.
Deputy Doherty, please, a little order. Deputy Doherty.
It's all right. That's the problem.
Deputy Doherty, you are out of order.
You are under pressure.
Please do not ignore the chair. You're out of order. Your time is up.
Meanwhile, Labour leader Ivana Bacic said the Housing for All plan wasn't working.
We've seen seven wasted years of prosperity since 2016, and we've seen a failure by successive Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil governments to deliver the necessary homes people need. And that's what's driving the current crisis. That's why we're seeing record numbers of young people forced either to emigrate or still living at home in their parents' houses in their childhood bedrooms.
Three of the largest banks have made a proposal to provide working capital for defective block homeowners who are facing huge rebuilding costs before they can draw funds from the government's enhanced redress scheme. The Banking and Payments Federation of Ireland briefed local Oireachtas members on the proposal this morning. Details of the proposal are not being made public pending approval of the measures by government and the central bank. Senator Niall Blaney was at the meeting.
Early stages of a proposal to put the Department of Housing and the Central Bank of Ireland, and it's about providing working capital to get plans, started.
Is that to be in the form of a grant? Is it to be in the form of an interest-free loan? Has the distribution method and the terms and conditions been discussed with yourselves yet?
It has been discussed, but they've asked until we have approval to hold on that. I'd put it this way: it's a good proposal. It doesn't address everything. But certainly from the point of view of the working capital to get an applicant started and first payments, It'll be a welcome announcement if and when it comes.
The point's been made by many people that in one way the banks are acting as though they're neutral observers, but in reality the banks hold so many mortgages on houses affected by this scandal that the banks can't say they're impartial observers. Are you getting any sense from the BPFI that they are taking ownership of this and that they are perhaps accepting that they have a role to play in here?
Well, that's the point we've been making all along, and this is the first signs from the banks. And I suppose banks talked about this morning was Permanent TSB, Bank of Ireland and AIB. The banks do have skin in the game. This is the first step of many points that have been made to the bank from the point of view of the availability of credit.
Will there be a role in these discussions for the MICA Action Group or other representative bodies so that the voice of the homeowners can be heard at every level of these talks?
Well, I think they probably should and will in due course, but I suppose the first step to play is to get them all around the table. It hasn't happened as yet, but it's something that needs to happen.
A law firm representing children impacted by the spinal surgery scandal at Temple Street Hospital says families are struggling to come to terms with this week's revelations. An external and internal review into the medical records of 16 children were published by the Children's Health Ireland yesterday, relating to procedures carried out between October 2019 and October of last year. Damien Tansey Solicitors is representing a number of the affected families. Partner with the law firm, Kieran Tansey, says the affected families have been going through hell this week.
They now know that the reasons were failure of governance, use of unauthorised implantation devices, failure of oversight. And it's more difficult to swallow that as the explanation for the pain and physical disability their children currently suffer from, as opposed to it being just bad luck. It hasn't been bad luck for them. It's down to Temple Street and the failures within that hospital.
A parent of Dunkeneally National School has said the traffic problems in the area is an accident waiting to happen. Declan Murphy and his child were one of a few involved in a near-miss incident at the pedestrian crossing outside the school. This was while making their way back to the car from the school gates. Mr Murphy told Greg Hughes what happened on this morning's 9 till noon show.
One of the kids had pushed the button on the traffic lights, and you know they're all told to wait for the green man before you know proceed across the road. So the green man started to flash. We start to walk across the road with the kids holding their hands. And with that, a vehicle coming from the Donegal town side, I can only describe it as hurtling towards us and then screeching on the brakes. The vehicle skidded for at least maybe 10 to 15 feet before it finally came to a halt. And it actually had to put its a passenger side wheel onto the curb to stop. With that, you can imagine it was a lot of animation, frustrated parents. It created a lot of discussion here locally in the community yesterday, conversation around how we need to highlight the dangers with the traffic in Dunkeneally in general, but around the school in particular is really bad, and it's an accident waiting to happen.
The Quality and Patient Safety Manager at Letterkenny University Hospital is urging parents and their families to participate in a new initiative. This is to help patients become more active in their own healthcare. The Engaging Patients for Patient Safety initiative is urging patients to offer feedback on their care, also giving them a chance to participate in a group through which they can discuss their experiences. On today's 9 till noon show, Martina Porter told Greg Hughes that there are resources beds beside the beds in the wards to allow people to note their comments and concerns, and that all material is analysed and passed on to management.
We go round and empty the suggestion boxes and we analyse the feedback, and we feedback to the department and the staff so that they can action. And in my report, I report back into various hospital committees. We do a lot of analysis and we do a lot of reporting back, and you know, then it's quality improvements then and deciding what we're going to do to improve on that and build on that moving forward. But I think it's very important to say if there is an invitation for patients, if they wish to feedback by completing out a form, or equally there is a code, that QR code that will take them to the Your Service, Your Say, where can do that online if they wish to leave a comment or feedback online. And equally an invitation if people wish to join our patient and family experience group, that they can do that as well and be part of that, where we can all work together collaboratively.
Donegal County Council has confirmed that High Road will be temporarily blocked for 5 nights next week to allow for essential roadworks. There will also be closures from Monday to Wednesday on the Polestar roundabout. Both sets of works will involve diversions, with Donegal County Council apologising for any inconvenience this may cause. Michaela Clark has the details.
The High Road works will take place from Monday to Friday next week between 7pm and 7am. Diversions will be in place via New Line Road and Circular Road. Meanwhile, the council says the Polestar roundabout will be partially blocked from 7pm to 7am from Monday to Wednesday of next week for road resurfacing works, with diversions in place depending on which roads are blocked. More details on our website. The Polestar roundabout will also have traffic control in operation, with one lane closed from 7pm to 7am on Saturday, September the 30th, and from Monday, October the 2nd to Wednesday, October the 4th. No works will take place on Friday night.
Police in Derry last night received a report of what was described as a loud bang and a subsequent discovery of a flare-like object in Cairn Hill. It happened just after 20 to 8. Anyone with information about this incident or who was in the area and saw any suspicious activity around this time is asked to contact the PSNI. Meanwhile, police in the north investigating the attempted murder of an officer have arrested a 23-year-old man. There has been arrested in connection with a claim of responsibility and is being questioned under the Terrorism Act. DCI John Caldwell was shot multiple times while off duty in Oma last February. It's proposed a pedestrian footbridge to be erected adjacent to the Castlefin Bridge in a bid to alleviate serious safety concerns. There's fears someone could be seriously injured walking on the bridge due to speed at which cars are travelling on the route. Councillor Gary Doherty says in its current form the bridge is unsafe. He's urging Donegal County Council to prioritise safety works.
Safety concerns in Castlefin Bridge is something that I've been raising for a long number of years. There are safety concerns on both sides of the river, both on the northern town side of the bridge and on the southern side of the bridge leading towards Ringsend. And pedestrians in particular are very worried about the southern side at the Ringsend side of the bridge, because the speed of cars that are coming down the road from the Castlederg side of the town towards Castlefin means that it is very dangerous for pedestrians who are walking there towards Castlefin. There's no footpath on that side of the bridge for a short period between the bridge and Ringsend Junction. So it's very important, I think, that the council do whatever they can to carry out safety works there to try and get the footpath on that portion of the road, and also then to look at a pedestrian footbridge across the bridge, because I think given the instances or the examples that we've had of pedestrian footbridges that have been utilised in the Lifford Stranorder MD, if we look at Balbafay Stranorder, if we look at Crossroads Village, we have a number of very good examples of how these pedestrian footbridges can be utilised. And I think Castlefin is a prime example of where that would be an excellent addition, I think. And it would make it safer for everybody, both motorists and pedestrians.
It's just gone 13 minutes past five. We're going to a short break, and Jordan McDade will be back with all the latest in sport. It's after 5:15. We're going to the sports desk to Jordan McDade.
Good evening. We start with rugby. Ireland head coach Andy Farrell says Saturday's World Cup meeting with South Africa is not a must-win. He's replaced Conor Murray with Jameson Gibson-Park as scrum half and the only alteration to his starting 15. But again, Dan Sheehan is named among the replacements in place of Rob Herring, while Jack Crawley is cover for Jonathan Sexton off the bench. And there'll be a 15th cap for centre Bundai Aki.
Oh yeah, no, I'm trying to put the emotions out of it and just focus what I need to do as a player, be the best player as I can for my teammates and do what I need to do week in, week out. So no, I'm trying to put the emotions out of it. So.
Switching to soccer, Kevin Kelleher starts in goal for Liverpool away to Austrian side Lisk this evening in the Europa League. There's also a first start for 17-year-old Scott Bendock, and kickoff is at 5:45. In Group E, the other game kicks off at the same time and we'll see Union SG host Toulouse. Elsewhere, Brighton's first ever European tie sees AK Athens visit the Amex from 8. Roberto Di Zerbi wants his players to play the game and not the occasion.
It will be a different day with different emotion, but we have to keep our eye on the ball, on the game, keeping our style, keeping our attitude.
Meanwhile, in Group B, Ajax play Marseille. West Ham begin their Group A duties at home to Serbian side TSC, while Olympiacos take on Freiburg, and in Group C, Rangers face Real Betis. There's a 5:45 start for Aston Villa's Conference League Group E game away to Legia Warsaw. At the same time in Group G, Aberdeen are away to Eintracht Frankfurt. In Gaelic games, Tyrone's Championship starts tonight with two former champions facing each other in an opening fixture. Kilcocher welcome Eric O'Kieran to Ballinamullen, and throw-in is at 7:30. To athletics, the European Masters Championships have gotten underway today in Pescara, Italy. Six Donegal athletes will compete across a number of events over 10 days. Chair Connell's Shane Tullin is the first to start competing in the 100-metre dash later. On the golfing front, Tom Kim is still the main man to catch at the first round as the Open de France draws to a close. The Korean is the clubhouse in 7 under par, having shot a round of 64 today. John Murphy is currently 1 under par with 3 to play. Tom McKibben is level playing the last, and Mark Power is 1 over with the 7 remaining of his first round. Finally, on the score this evening after 7 p.m. news, former Harps manager Anthony Gorman joins us to look ahead to Finn Harps' clash with Cove Ramblers in the League of Ireland First Division. In our local soccer segment, it's a big weekend of FAI Junior Cup action. This week we'll preview the tie between Kilmacrenn Celtic and Kildaff FC. Also, Cathair O'Kane of the Irish News will cast his thoughts on Mickey Hart's Derry appointment. And in mixed martial arts, Derek Kelly looks for a 5th professional win on Saturday. We'll hear from the Mavol man ahead of his latest fight in Dublin. And if you can't wait till tonight to hear that interview, it's up on our website and our sports section, highlandradio.com. That's your sport.
Thanks, Jordan. Handing over now to Chris Ashmore for all the latest farming news and views.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. The nominations for the post of IFA president closed last week with two candidates in the field. Francie Gorman from County Laois, the current South Leinster regional chair, and Martin Stapleton from Limerick, who is the current IFA national treasurer. Donegal IFA members will receive their vote in the post, and they can either return the vote by post or cast their vote at the branch AGM, so they will have a say in who will be the next president of Ireland's biggest farming organisation. The election count will take place on the 12th of December. We'll hear from Francie Gorman in a future programme. This evening, though, it's the turn of Martin Stapleton. I've been speaking to him about his background in farming, his involvement in Macrae na Ferma and the IFA, and what he sees as the top priorities for the farming sector.
Well, I suppose, Chris, I started, like many young people in Ireland, I trained Macrae na Ferma and went through the process of the different positions you hold in Macrae na Ferma, as well as enjoying life as a young man. But I did serve 2 years as county chairman while I was in Macrae na Ferma, and that certainly whetted my appetite for farm politics as such. So after, I suppose, I gave a few years not involved while I was rearing a young family, got involved in Limerick IFA, became committee member in the Farm Business Committee. And in 2016, after what everyone will remember is the crisis that we had in IFA at the time, I became chairman of the Farm Business Committee. I served 4 years as chairman of the Farm Business Committee, representing the IFA from a point of view of taxation, putting in the budget submissions, and also with all of the issues to do with the banks. And I suppose that was complicated. The banks at that time was complicated by the fact banks sold loans, sold many farmers' loans, and we had the responsibility of assisting many farmers who were getting into what was a new environment where they were dealing with what we would commonly call the voucher funds. In 2020, at the start of the new presidential term, I became Treasurer and National Returning Officer, and I've been doing that job for the last 4 years.
So if you are elected as president, such an important position, the IFA has such a strong influence. It has that ear for the farmers. It has direct contacts with Brussels and the government. What do you see as being the sort of three or four top priorities?
Well, I'd identify my four top priorities as, first of all, restoring respect. And it's not just for the IFA, but I think that farmers feel put upon now by all of the negative commentary that's coming their way, predominantly around environmental issues. And that has had a huge impact on the esteem of farmers, how they see themselves in society, how they see their representative organisation. And I think it also impacts on how government sees the farmer organisation. So I would say number one is to restore respect across the board in a number of different areas. It's also the case, and I think partly because we are put upon so much, that there's a division now amongst farmers. And there's always a bit of tension and rivalry, just like you'll have in local GAA clubs to a certain extent. But there's a division that's more tense than usual between the different sectors. And I think we've got to focus on creating more unity, accepting that it is only when we are unified around policies across the different sectors that we can deliver strongly for farmers. The next one is freedom to farm. I think, for me, the best catchphrase to cover our battle with the environmentalists to ensure that we have the freedom to farm as we know best on our own particular farms across the board. Of course, within the confines of doing so efficiently from an environmental point of view. But I think it's really important that we stand by the principle that for those of us who are farmers, that we have the freedom to farm in the different sectors that we want and always to farm as efficiently as possible. And that's economically as well as environmentally. And the final one I would say, and it's always really important for all farmer organisations, is to maintain incomes on farms. I think farmers can only farm and can only be viable and sustainable when they are able to get a viable income from whatever the work that they do on an annual basis.
There's a lot of talk about the family farm. We have an ageing demographic when it comes to the farming community. A lot of people uncertain about the future, not a lot of young people going into farming. Are you optimistic about farming long-term in Ireland, and in particular in a county like Donegal?
I absolutely am. I think that there's a number of facets to that question now from a point of view of different areas and how viable farming is in different areas, and also for young people and getting young people in. I'd say, first of all, people will always want food. In Ireland, we have one of the best food-growing countries in the world. And I think that once the conditions are right and the environment is right for young people to go farming, I think they'll be very happy to do it. By and large, farmers are in a way of life that they're really content with. And farmers, most years, are able to do reasonably well, depending on the sector they're in and depending on and sometimes it depends on outside income and a whole host of factors. But most farmers are reasonably happy, provided the income that they're able to make from the work that they do is somewhat justifiable. I think that as a country, we need to focus more on protecting vulnerable areas and vulnerable sectors within what we do. And I've seen great examples down the Western Seaboard of areas where properly managed and properly supported by Europe and by the government, farmers can do great work to both protect the environment and manage, for example, sheep or cattle in those areas. It's not always the case that they're viable, and this is a particularly tough year, but great work is done. And woe betide all of us if we let communities come out of those rural areas in the very west of Ireland. I think there's a huge onus on all of us to make sure that those communities remain viable. And the bedrock of those communities, as far as I can see, is agriculture in every case, and also combined with tourism in some cases.
Now, just before I let you go, we have the election debates coming up in October, so I take it you'll be going around the county and we may well see you in the northwest.
Yes, and if memory serves me right, I think it's the 30th of October we're up in Letterkenny for the election debate. I'd be looking forward to meeting as many people as I possibly can in Donegal and trying to convince them that I'm the best man for the job.
Members will receive their vote in the post. They can return it by post or at the branch AGM. Between now and then no doubt you're going to be on the campaign trail, as will Francie Gorman. And as you've said, you know, you believe you are the man for the job. I suppose one of the things when you're addressing farmers in Donegal as opposed to down in Limerick or Cork or Tipperary is it's just the huge variety of different farming sectors that we have out there. And it's one of the strengths of the IFA has always been, you know, it's unity and bringing everybody together. There's been splinter farm groups over the years, but the IFA has always come through, and its strength is its numbers.
Yeah, it goes back to what I said earlier on, Chris. If we're not unified, we won't be strong. And there's a number of different ways we can be unified. We need to be unified within our sectors, and our sectors need to all come together to work together. And sometimes that's going to take compromise within the IFA, so that we can agree policies and push those policies at national level when we're talking to our politicians, and at European level when we're talking to the Commission and the Council in Europe as well. It's really important we remain unified also, so that we can keep just as high up in the list of priorities food production as environmental sustainability. And I think that, you know, if I've one criticism of the conversation that goes on in this country about environmental sustainability, it is that all too often food production is ignored at the same time. All farmers ever want is to make sure that there's a balance between the different things that are really important. The final point that I would make in it is all farmers have to recognise that whatever differences they have between them from a point of unity, they have far more in common than the differences that are with the people who would try to undermine farming and try to reduce farming and farmland in this country to go back to wild rewilding and rewetting and all of those without taking into account at all the impact that it would have on farm livelihoods and on the loss of food production in the country.
And that was IFA National Presidential Candidate Martin Stapleton. Finally, our farming fact of the week. Donegal has over 81,000 hectares of rough grazing area land, the biggest amount of any county in the state, according to the Central Statistics Office. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Having a look to the weather forecast, rain for a short time this afternoon, breaking up into showers later. A little cooler today with highs of 14 to 16 degrees and a light west to northwest breeze. Those showers continuing into tonight with winds strengthening in the lowest overnight temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, a man was held at gunpoint during an aggravated burglary in a home in Clady last night. Normal business resumed this afternoon for Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty on day two of the new Dáil term. Three of the largest banks have made a proposal to provide working capital for defective block homeowners who are facing huge rebuilding costs. And a parent of Dunkennillie National Schools has said the traffic problems in the area is an accident waiting to happen. Those are the latest headlines. The next news update is at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, you can keep up to date with the latest local news on our website, highlandradio.com. From myself and the Highland Radio News team, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening. The death has occurred of Owen Brosnan, Dromahaí, Brucklass. His remains will repose at his late residence from this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday to the Church of St. Joseph and St. Connell, Brucklass, for funeral mass at 12 noon with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of Derek McCabe, funeral directors, or any family member. The death has taken place of Ernest Elliott, the Glebe Stranorler. Funeral from his home on Saturday afternoon at 1:45 for 2 o'clock funeral service in St. Mary's Church of Ireland, Stranorler, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. The house is strictly private, please. The death has occurred of Mary Kelly, née Wilkinson, 11 Townview Heights, Ballybuffet, formerly of Creasla and London. Remains reposing at her late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the St. Patrick's Church Crossroads Killigordon YouTube channel. The house is private to family, close friends and neighbours, please. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and before the funeral on Saturday.
The death has taken place of Raymond McMaster. Saoirse Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral service in Holy Trinity Church, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy, on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in St Anne's Church Graveyard, Killult, Falkara. Family time, please, from 9 p.m. to 12 noon. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Irish Cancer Research, care of any family member, or James Harkin, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Mario Hegarty, 8 Shandon Park, Derry. Mario will repose at his sister Jacinta's residence at 8 Shandon Park, Derry, until 10 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral leaving 8 Shandon Park on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to Sacred Heart Church, Muff, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place of Art O'Hagan, 21 Melmount Gardens, Strabane, reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Melmount Manor Residents Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.